Hi, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
I'm Jimmy.
So we are in a new year, 2023. Happy 2023 to everybody out there. I guess travel has been kind of normalized a bit lately. Like last year, I flew to a few different places. I know you flew to a few different places, but I know some countries are opening up, and I feel like a lot of us have generated a massive backlog of places we want to visit over the past few years. So like, yeah, with 2023 around the corner, or correction, now that we are in 2023, any places you're thinking about going?
Well, I guess my big trip this year will be San Diego, going back to California for Comic-Con. Most times I plan my trips around a convention, so there's that. I feel like I've talked about it on the podcast before, but not sure. I'm a big Power Ranger fan, and not only that, I love the Japanese stuff, which is called Super Sentai. And this year they've announced that they're going to do a Super Sentai convention in Japan late this year, and I really want to go, but a Japan trip's a little pricey, as you could probably let me know about that. But I'm also nervous about not being able to speak the language.
It's so interesting to bring up Japan, because I am actually headed to Japan in a few months with some friends. I try to do one international trip a year with friends. Obviously, the past 3 years, we have not. So this is going to be our first one since 2019. And yeah, Japan, it can be pricey. It is a little tricky. So I might be getting the number wrong, but my understanding is it's around 10% of the Japanese population that can speak English proficiently, which, you know, makes sense. It's Japan. We, you know, it's not an English speaking nation, and I shouldn't be going and expecting them to speak English. But as a person who can't speak Japanese, it does prove to be challenging. That being said, if you're creative or crafty or really good at charades or whatever, you'll be just fine, especially in Tokyo. Like if you're in Tokyo, chances are high you're gonna be just fine. Now if you were going to like some smaller town or something, then I'd be like, okay, yeah, I should probably be a little concerned. But
yeah, so I guess those are my only two. Well, one planned trip, other one maybe. I don't know. You said you're going to Japan. Where else? Are you going anywhere else?
Yeah, Korea as well. Because it's like, I mean, they're right by each other. It's like an hour and a half flight from like Seoul to Tokyo or whatever. So we're going to be doing that and hanging out. So, you know, there's on my trip, there's about, including myself, two guys, two girls. So, you know, both the girls are really into, I guess, Korean makeup and beauty products and stuff. So they're probably bringing a whole empty suitcase just for all of that stuff to buy and bring back. So they're looking forward to that. But we also, you know, we want to try the food. We want to see a lot of the sights. We did do a Korea trip back in 2019, but it was like literally it was a weekend that we were there. I think we went there on a Friday and we left on a Monday, I want to say. So we barely did anything at all that time. So it's like, we didn't do Korea properly. So let's try to do it properly this time. So we're giving ourselves a full week to enjoy it.
Nice. So do you say, like, for someone who's never been in Japan like myself, a full week is good enough, or is that not enough time?
It depends on what you want to see. If you're just wanting to see Tokyo, it's fine. I usually give myself 2 weeks, and this is just my general rule for overseas travel, largely because I always feel like I lose some time due to, like, jet lag and whatnot. Like, you automatically lose a day flying over. Like, if you leave on Saturday, even if you leave on, like, Saturday morning at 6 a.m., you're still going to arrive in that other country, like, Sunday afternoon their time, even though it's, like, Saturday evening your time. So you lose pretty much a whole day. And then, of course, you're recovering from jet lag and stuff. So I'm like, okay, if I want to give a full experience, I try to do 2 weeks. But it is absolutely possible to enjoy, at least enjoy Tokyo over the course of a week. Tokyo's a, I mean, that's the largest metropolitan area on the planet, 31 million people, a lot to see there and stuff. So, you know, you can see quite a lot in a day, in a week's time. You can also just take the bullet train for like a day or two and go to like Kyoto or something and get to see some of that. So yeah, a week would be fine. Maybe 8 days.
Yeah, I don't know what I would want to do. Well, I would want to see every Pokemon Center, if that was possible. Any of the Pokemon cafes. I love that stuff. Gosh, I don't know if there's a place that sells like Super Sentai things. Like if there's like, this is the place to go to buy it. If there was, then I would like to go there.
Oh, easy. Like, but there is a part of Tokyo that is kind of like considered Otakuville or whatever, where you can buy all sorts of different, pretty much there's just nothing but arcades and like 5-6 story buildings that sell comic books and action figures and whatnot. In fact, I'm purposely going to go to one of those. So we went last time, and one of my favorite video games of all time is Tales of Vesperia. And we were wandering around one of those stores, and just corner of my eye, I saw Tales of Vesperia, Yuri Lowell action figure or figurine, I guess, whatever you want to call it. And I was like, yes, and I bought it, and it broke during a move because I kept it on my desk. And then, of course, COVID happened, and we all had to go home and stuff. And they wound up, like, putting everybody's stuff in a box and shipping it back home to them after a while. And so when they shipped it, it broke in the box. So I'm like, great, now I need to go back to Japan and get another one. So, but yeah, I would be shocked if you went to Tokyo. Like, I feel like you'd almost have to try not to find a store that has that stuff.
Yeah, I'm also worried about, like, how much money I would spend. There's so many things. I love so many Japanese things that, you know, I want to buy it all. We don't get all the cool stuff over here.
All right, Akihabara is the name of the place. It is a area that has a lot of stall. It's basically like a huge multimedia area that has video games and electronics and manga, anime, everything you could think of. The anime center is there, so yeah, that's where like everybody goes.
Oh man, it looks beautiful. It looks like sensory overload, though.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, we like to go there, and a lot of people go there because that's where you can get a lot of the Japanese pop culture stuff. So I'm hoping to go there and find a replacement toy for the one that broke. Maybe some other ones.
Do you do a lot of the cafes? Like the different kind of cafes?
I do coffee shops. I don't do the maid cafes largely. I mean, I guess in a way I'm their demographic, but I'm also not their demographic. Like, so that there's these maid cafes, for those of you who don't know, and it kind of fits to like some of the weird-ish, at least for us Westerners, Japanese stereotypes. Where there'll be, you know, youngish, late teens, 20s girls who dress up in like French maid outfits, and they will stand in the street and they'll kind of try to wave you into these cafes. And they're not brothels, like nothing bad or illegal happens there. But it's essentially like you pay, I don't know, let's say $10 to sit at a table. And that's aside from like the drinks or whatever you purchase. It's to sit at a table for an hour. And essentially a cute girl will chat with you and you buy them drinks and stuff and whatnot. And usually my understanding is that they speak like a lot of, you know, talking about earlier how like English isn't really proficient there. So a lot of times they don't speak English that well. So it's like, I'm not really the good demographic, because even if I was interested in going in there, it's like, I wouldn't be able to talk to the girls. So it's like, whatever. So I don't do that, but like, I do go to a lot of the coffee shops, and it's fun because it's funny you bring that up, actually, because one of my friends and I, we were talking about like the coffee culture in Japan, Korea, China, kind of in Asia, and how in like Korea, Taiwan, China, the coffee culture really mimics like contemporary American coffee culture. So, you know, you go into a Starbucks nowadays or a fancy coffee shop, it kind of looks like an Apple store almost, but And it seems like a lot of the coffee shops in these countries, even if they aren't Starbucks, are trying to look like a Starbucks. In Japan, now granted, there are some newer ones that are that way, but there's a lot of older ones that do not look like that at all. And I actually kind of love diving into those ones.
Well, when we were talking about that city, I saw that there's a Square Enix cafe.
Okay, I am absolutely, I'm a huge Final Fantasy fan.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely going to the Square Enix cafe.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and the food looks so cute. And I know that in Pokemon Center, some Pokemon Centers have Pokemon cafes. So.
Yep.
Oh, dude.
When I was in Singapore years ago, and I think I even sent you a picture of it, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
In Singapore, they had a DC Comics cafe, and like all the food and drinks were DC Comics themed.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm so jealous. Even though you do invite me, I need to just plan out 1 year. If you go, you know, I don't know. I'll figure it out. Maybe next year, if you do it next year.
Sure. I mean, Japan's one of my favorite places to visit, amongst other countries. Like, you know, I have not been back, and it is one of my, and for a while, for quite a few years, actually. It's one of my favorite countries to visit. I need to make it back there one day. New Zealand. New Zealand's gorgeous. So I
was going to say New Zealand. Dude, I would go to New Zealand, too. Do you go to The Hobbit, like the Lord of the Rings stuff?
Yeah. I forget what the proper term of it is, like what the actual town's called, but it's essentially called like Hobbiton or whatever, the Shire. And yeah, it's where they filmed like all the Shire scenes and stuff. And then you can also do like a tour where they show you where like a lot of the hiking scenes took place and whatnot.
Oh man, that sounds traveling just is fun. I oh my gosh. I need to win the lottery so I can just travel.
Yeah, traveling is fun. There was a study, I don't know how many years ago, where they were talking about, you know, the old saying that, like, money can't buy happiness. And largely that's true. Like, you can be super rich and still be depressed or whatever. But what they discovered was, like, things won't make you happy because eventually things get old. So that new car is not new anymore. The new shoes aren't new anymore. The new album isn't new anymore. New things eventually get old and lose their glitter. So they think that they say that like experiences, spending money on experiences is actually better and makes you happier because like even though you're not doing it anymore, you always have that memory of that week or those 2 weeks or that month or whatever.
Memories are really good.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I try to focus on. Like whenever I have any extra money is doing things that I think will make me feel happy versus like, oh, I'm just going to buy something super expensive.
Experiences over items. I like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it feels like something Hank Hill would say or try to instill in Bobby, like, you don't need to buy a fancy car. You just need to learn to enjoy life and you can still have fun for cheap, which wouldn't be a bad thing to learn. I think that is another one of my world famous segues into our King of the Hill episode. This episode, our episode 44, is The Sun Also Roses, which is season 7, episode 6. Just like the last one, this is a very Bobby and Hank heavy episode and kind of digs into their relationship and kind of what Hank expects Bobby to be and then what Bobby is and then what Hank... Yeah. Just listen. If you haven't already seen the episode, you know what I'm talking about. If you've seen the episode, you know what I'm talking about. Listen and follow along. If you haven't, I mean, you can still listen and follow along. We're going to describe it, but I really recommend you going and watching it first and then listening to us. But yeah, let's jump right into it. So the episode starts in the backyard of the Hill House, and Hank throws a football at Bobby. It's like, hey, Bobby, go long. And Bobby goes and fumbles the ball and everything, and Hank's like, dang it, Bobby, football tryouts are coming out soon, and you're nowhere near where you need to be. And Bobby's like, well, why don't they just make me running back? I mean, they kind of have to, because you used to be running back. And Hank's like, you can't be running back just because I was running back. We fought a whole war with England over that. And then Hank's like, I don't know, maybe you could be center. We can put your God-given immobility to good use. And so Bobby gets into the position to hike the ball, and Hank's like, okay, hike. I said hike. And he's like, Dad, the football's the only thing that's keeping me up right now. And Dale is there too. He's like, oh, don't worry, Hank. Joseph doesn't want to follow me in my footsteps of being towel manager either. He's going to be quarterback. And Dale's like, you know what? Maybe Bobby could be towel manager. And Hank's like, oh, I don't want Bobby to just be handed a role. He's like, oh, there are tryouts for towel manager, and there's craziness there. Like, this girl, Kathleen, she works at the laundromat, and she's the one to beat. And so, you know, Hank's like, oh, okay, maybe towel manager works out. So Bobby tries out for it, and he is successful, and he folds the towel quicker than Kathleen. It's like, I take a lot of baths. In the alley the next day, the guys are kind of standing around, and Dale's like, I asked Nancy to raise my allowance. It didn't go well. Bobby and Joseph run by, and Bobby's like, Dad, guess what? I'm the new towel manager. And Joseph's the quarterback, and everybody cheers, not just for Joseph, but for both of them. And Hank's like, my boy is on a team, not a squad or a club, but a team. I do find it kind of interesting because I guess like in some of the earlier episodes where Hank is upset about Bobby doing laundry and stuff like that, for him to be all cool and excited about Bobby being towel manager seems kind of weird. But I guess since he is like supporting the football team, he's happy.
The way I took it was that because Hank wasn't on board a towel manager until he found out that you had to beat someone else to get it. You know, there was some competition in it. So I feel like if there was a laundry competition, Hank would be for it. Because, like, I don't know. There's this weird competitive side to Hank always.
You know, that is a very good point. I didn't even think about that. But you do bring up a good point that because there's a competitiveness to it and he has to try out and earn it, then Hank is all right with it.
I also find it interesting. I don't know if a lot of baths equivalent to, like, good towel folding.
Just because you use a lot of towels don't mean you're, you know, I'm guaranteeing his mom's doing most of the laundry and folding most of the towels, so.
Unless this is another Bobby character, where it's like, spa manager, Bobby.
Maybe that's it, because I just don't. Seeing how inactive Bobby tends to be and how lazy he tends to be, I have a hard time believing that he's doing laundry chores routinely.
Yeah, I don't see Bobby getting excited over anything unless it's like a character he's playing. And then he's like, he dives into it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. So at school, they're doing like the football practice, and Hank's watching everything going on, and Joseph throws a ball and it gets intercepted, and Dale all of a sudden cheers, and Hank's like, what are you cheering for? The ball got intercepted. He's like, oh no, I was cheered at Bobby. He was able to grab the towel and replace it. That's the hat trick. And Hank's like, really? Oh, way to go, Bobby. And after practice over, the coach is like, all right, everybody, good job. You're going to Whataburger. But then he turns to Bobby. He's like, Hill, you have stuff to clean up. And Bobby is upset because he wants to go to Whataburger like everybody else, but no, he has to stick behind and do all the laundry. And Hank comes up and it's like, how was your first day at practice? And he's like, the coach yelled at me. He's like, oh, the coach knows who you are? And he's like, yeah, he said, Hill, he knows your name. And Hank's super happy. And he's like, well, enjoy your hard work, son, because you've earned it. And it's funny because he's not being sarcastic. Like, he's being 100% genuine there.
Of course Hank would, I don't know, Hank delusion, I guess I'm going to call it. Poor Bobby, though. Whataburger is really good. I mean, it's not like the best burger, but to miss out, I'd be upset too.
Mm-hmm. It is a Texas great. Bobby is walking home, and as he walks home, he walks by the Super Newsom phone house, and he smells some roses, and he walks up, and Min catches him. It's like, oh, these aren't the types of flowers that squirt water, you know, clown flowers or whatever. And he's like, oh, these smell really nice. And she's like, yeah, I started growing roses after my doctor cut off my Xanax. And he's like, it's so nice to have control over living things. And Bobby's like, oh, can I try? And he clips one of the roses. And he's like, oh, man, this smells better than jockstraps. And she's like, oh, maybe to you.
That line is hilarious.
I love it. And also, we kind of get a little, sadly, we kind of get a little bit into Min's life here, which I don't know they touch upon it all that often. I guess maybe they hint it, but yeah, like she clearly is like dealing with depression, which, you know, I'm glad that she found something that helps her, but you know, it makes it sad that they don't, I guess, talk. It's kind of just a throwaway joke instead of them going into like deeper details or whatever. So at dinner, Bobby has the rose, but he's like has it in an inner pocket of his jacket and he's sniffing it. But he's keeping it kind of concealed. And Peggy is like, oh, you're either sniffing glue or feeding a bird, but I want you to stop that. And he's like, oh, no, this is just a rose. Don't you want to grow roses, Mom? He's like, no. And Hank's like, I don't want to hear about roses unless you're talking about the Rose Bowl. Hey, maybe one day you could be the towel manager for it. And Bobby's like, but he's like, oh, no, you're right. You gotta work up to that. You got a big game tomorrow. Bobby, I guess, now has a hobby. He goes to the Megalomart, and he talks to one of the guys in the gardening department. He's like, oh, which one of these sticks will turn into roses? And the guy's like, I don't know. I just got transferred from Fabrics. And it's like, oh, this one, I guess? And Bobby looks at it. He's like, it says it's a rose. And he's like, yeah. So it needs food and water and sun and love. And Bobby's like, can I substitute the love for sun? It's like, no, you have to do what's on the tag. But I know of a guy, but the thing is, he's at another store near here, and Bobby's like, well, I've got a bike, and he's like, oh, that changes everything.
Yeah, I love trying to substitute sunlight for extra love. Like, if I just give it extra love, can I, like, skip watering?
That would be funny if that actually worked.
The guy was very insistent, like, we have to follow what's on the label, and I don't know. I've never bought roses before. Are they all just like sticks in pots? And then you got to wait for it to become its thing?
Probably. If I was guessing. I don't buy too many plants myself. But I'm guessing there's some truth to that. So Bobby goes to a store called Stems and Seeds. To anybody who is over the age of 12, they know what's going on here. It's a head shop, not unlike Planet K, which is a popular one in Texas. And as they're walking around, like there's a reggae song playing that's talking about legalizing it. Bobby goes up to the counter. He's like, hey, Ricky at Megalomart told me to come here. He told me to tell you guys that I was cool. It's like, oh, okay, I'm cool. It's like, Are you here to grow stuff indoors? Like, what do you want to grow? He's like, oh, I'm trying to grow some roses. Like, you know, roses are legal now. You can grow them outside. And he's like, yeah, I know, but my dad only wants me to do stuff outside that I can win. And the guys start bringing up Lao Tzu to him. And it's like, oh, man, Lao Tzu says it's not about winning. It's about enjoying life. And they give him kind of, I guess, what you would consider like a beginner's book to Taoism and Lao Tzu. And Bobby kind of thumbs through it real quick, and he's like, oh, wow, this is kind of cool stuff. This must be why you guys always seem so happy. And they kind of do their stoner laugh. Bobby then takes his lamp to the closet where he tries to grow his flowers, and he's reading Lao Tzu, and he's kind of like learning a little bit about life. At the game, the team is losing badly, and they realize it's because they don't have a towel manager. And, you know, they kind of show that, like, oh, the football player can't see because there's so much sweat in his eyes and all of that stuff. And with Bobby not being there, everything is just, the performance is terrible. They're losing, and Dale runs in to help, and Hank yells, Bobby, at the top of his lungs.
Doesn't this part feel like an infomercial? You know, where it's like, the woman opening her cabinet and all the cans are falling or whatnot. It's like, she needs a can organizer. Like, it's so, like, well, Bobby wasn't going to wash those right away. I'm sure they have clean towels just sitting there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've never played football, and quite frankly, I've never paid attention to what a towel manager does. But I imagine, like, a towel manager skipping for a day, I don't know that it would cause that kind of a collapse, but you know, maybe because it was an unusually muddy day, that makes sense.
I also love that Dale runs down there and he grabs, like, there's this guy with a sweater wrapped around his neck. Like, he's at a polo game, and Dale grabs that white sweater, like, to be, like, mm-hmm. the starting towel. I find that hilarious as well.
I think he also, like, in the process, knocks the guy's glasses off or something like that. So we go to Bobby's room. All the guys, well, at least Dale and Hank, I can't remember if Bill and Boomhauer are there, but they're in Bobby's room, and they realize that Bobby's hiding in the closet, and Hank's like, If you're not going to make it to the game, you shouldn't be hiding. Come out. And he comes out, and Dale's like, oh, it was a disaster. There was sweat and mud everywhere. And Hank's like, you got cut from the team. A girl. And then Dale's like, yeah, a girl is now doing the team's laundry. Now get out of my sight. And then he kind of realizes he's in Bobby's room, so he just sheepishly leaves. And Hank's like, our house is going to get TP'd tonight. And he's like, well, I guess towel manager wasn't in my cosmic path. And then Hank's like, that's a weird thing to say. He's like, what were you doing in that closet? I think he's assuming like maybe he was doing drugs or something weird. He opens it and he's like, sticks? A light? Are you doing some kind of puppet theater? And he's like, no, I'm trying to grow roses. And then Hank's upset about that. We go to the bedroom and Hank's talking to Peggy as they're getting ready to go to bed. He's like, I want Bobby to learn how to compete in the real world. I don't want him to be playing with these roses. And Peggy's like, oh, what's the big deal? And Hank's like, see, that's where he gets this what's the big deal idea. And Peggy's like, look, he likes roses. Why don't you take him to one of those rose competitions? That way you can help him grow some confidence. He's like, there's no such thing. He's like, oh, absolutely there are. Men goes all the time, largely because I think she's in a bad marriage. It's like, you know, since he likes roses, you can use the roses to kind of connect with him. Just like however I want to talk to you about something important, I bring up propane. I guess it's nice that Peggy was an advocate for Bobby in this one.
Yeah, and poor Min. Min getting dissed a lot in this episode. Her Xanax getting cut off, and now Peggy started the rumor of a bad marriage. But does Min go to these competitions? She seems like she doesn't. She does gardening just to, like, release anger.
I mean, she might, like, just do it for fun or like, maybe not competitively, but kind of as a spectator. So in Bobby's room, Hank shows up. He's like, I got some good news, but please don't squeal. You can grow your roses. And then Bobby, of course, squeals in excitement. Hank says he's entering Bobby into a rose contest. She'll probably compete with some of the top old women, I suppose. And, you know, and Bobby's like, oh, but it's not about competition and all that stuff, kind of the stuff he's learning about Lao Tzu. And it's like, see, you need to try something and you got to give it your best shot. That's what Hank's saying. And he's like, are you ready to grow the hell out of some roses? And Bobby's like, yeah. And he gets ready to take the roses outside. And it's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to plant them in the yard now that you're for it. And he's like, oh no, you should keep them in the closet. That way nobody steals your gardening secrets.
I'm sad they couldn't move up into the living room or the kitchen at least. You know, maybe somewhere where we can get a little more sunlight.
Yeah. At the Megalomart, Hank's going to sign up Bobby, but you know, he walks in and there's a bunch of, you know, kind of burly Hank type of men who are kind of standing around a mower, and they're like, oh, check out this engine. It's so great and stuff. And Hank sheepishly like walks over to the gardening department and he knocks over a can and like kicks it so that it rolls in. He's like, oh, I'll get it. And then he walks after it to make it look like he doesn't intentionally plan to go to the gardening department. And he sees some old ladies and asks them like, oh, how do you sign up for this rose competition? And they're like, oh, are you the guy from Portland? And they kind of say all the stuff about like the Queen's Prize and stuff. It's like, the only word thing I understood from you was the word grew. Essentially, the women are giving him the business about, oh, you're not tough enough or you don't have what it takes. And a burly guy, like this big, like buff black guy, comes up to Hank and is like, oh, here's the sign up form. And Hank's like, thanks. So how many pounds was the rose that won last time? And the guy is like, is that some kind of a joke? And he's like, no, like it's got to be like that pumpkin growing thing, right? Like the bigger, the better. And he's like, size is only 10% of the score. There's form. There's all the, you know, he just lists all these other things. And he's like, huh, I didn't know that it was so big. And it's like, this isn't like mowing a lawn. This is for experts. It takes a lot of skill to grow a perfect rose. And it's like, look, my wife and I want to get him in something easy to build confidence. They're like, you shouldn't steal this boy's innocence. He should be playing games or something, not entering the world of competitive rose growing. Oh, gosh. I think Hank was not expecting this at all. I think Hank thought that this was like, I guess, a little passive thing that nobody cares about. And he just, Bobby just grows a rose. And if it's big enough, it wins. And didn't realize. And it's also, I think, the fact that it's not like a little, as Hank would call it, a twig boy or one of the, like a hipster or whatever, but like a guy that you would expect to be able to play football who's taken saying this is now making Hank reconsider his position about roses.
It is interesting that like the only people Hank encountered about this road competition were like the only people with no chill, like the old ladies, and they're really intense and like mean about it. And then he meets this other guy who like takes it way too seriously. I'm sure there are people in this competition that are just like there to have fun, but Hank just encountered these intense people.
Yeah, that's what is going to really, I think, set the pace for the rest of the episode. And now Hank interacts with Bobby. So we go to Bobby's room, and Bobby's excited that he's in. Hank mentions that he signed up, and you know, he's saying, oh, I think these flowers are responding to something, like they're responding to my talking or whatever. And Hank's like, oh, okay. But he decides to like help Bobby out because now he thinks that like this is actually a real thing. And so he goes into the closet with Bobby as they grow the plants and stuff. And he's like, oh, am I supposed to cut above or below the bud? And you know, he's like, oh, you know, Lao Tzu would say yada, yada, yada. And Hank's like, well, let me just check the official rules. And he like looks up, like, I think I forget what it was called, but it's like the American Rose Growers Association handbook of the rules. And he's like, let me look. And Hank is like super into it and following the rules. Like he is treating this like this is one of his football games or something. Like he wants to win, and he is literally by the book. He purchased the rule book for the competition so he can figure out how to grow them. And Bobby just wants to have fun. So he's just like, you know, he's trying to do all of the, he's trying to do some of the Lao Tzu talk about, you know, just kind of going with the flow, which is kind of what Taoism's about. And Hank's like, cut the Benihana talk and help me out.
This is that. There are always these points in like where Hank takes over Bobby's hobby, and he kind of makes it, I guess he's that person that makes the thing not fun. You know, like everyone's like, oh, we're just chilling. We're here. It's that one person who takes Monopoly too seriously when you're playing. Mm-hmm. That's what Hank's happening.
Yeah, like, and, dude, it's just a free game. Why are you freaking out?
Yeah, and this is kind of why I really like this episode and kind of why it bothers me a little bit. Hank's taking over, but Bobby, you always feel like Bobby really wants to spend time with Hank, and like whenever he can get these opportunities where their worlds collide, he's really like, okay, I'm gonna allow this to happen just so we can do this thing together.
Yeah, I think that's a very good assertion there, that like Bobby just wants to have fun. He doesn't care. He just wants to enjoy himself. And really, he just wants to spend time doing something that he likes with his dad. But now his dad's turning it into like a huge competition instead of just a thing of enjoyment. The light breaks, so they go to Stem and Seeds to get another one. And, you know, they see Hank come in, so they assume, oh, he's a narc or whatever, which would be a fair thing to think if you saw somebody like Hank walking into your head shop. So they kind of spray the whole area with, or at least their front area, the counter with, you know, Febreze or whatever to kill all the smell. And Hank's like, huh, this must be a rose growing store for kids. And he asks, hey, can I get another light? And they're like, yeah, officer. And then Bobby's like, no, he's cool. We just need to replace the light. And they're like, oh, this is an amateur light. You need this, the Phototron. And it is it's $2,000. And Hank's like, whoa, that's a lot. They're like, you got a job, right? And he's like, of course I got a job. I got a great job. Huh, this must be why all those other growers have sponsors. And then Hank asks if they will sponsor his team, Stem and Seeds. And at first they're against it because, like, the whole Lao Tzu thing, they're not big in competition and stuff. But Hank's like, oh, come on, we will wear Stem and Seed shirts and we'll put the rose in one of those vases back there, pointing out one of the bongs, and they kind of laugh. And Hank tries to give them like a motivational speak about why this is important. And they're just kind of watching and staring at him. We kind of see their perspective as the things kind of get all wobbly and stuff. And they're like, dude, we agree. We will do it. We need more of this weed and more of this dude. I like how none of them realize it's a head shop.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course Bobby's not going to know. He barely knows. Like, he's still innocent. The Rose competition hasn't taken his innocence away yet. Gosh. And I, you know what? I give Hank the benefit. Like, who would Hank be around that would know this? I don't even think Peggy would know if she walked in there.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, maybe. Being that she's a middle school teacher, there is a chance she might know, but yeah.
Luann is the only one who I would be like, is street smart for this.
I'll agree with you on that one. It's funny because now, like, they're in the closet and they just have like this huge, like, set up like what you'd probably see of somebody who's trying to legally grow weed in their closet, but they're growing roses. And, you know, they, I guess Bobby's still just kind of having fun with it. He's not like super, super hardcore. Oh, we needed this to be absolutely perfect. But Hank has no chill on this one. He's like, oh, you know, Hank's really obsessed. He's like, oh, that's sloppy side bud removal. Here, let me do it. And, you know, game day's tomorrow, Bobby. You should choose the rose that we're going to use. And Bobby chooses the rose that he likes. And this, it's not perfect, but he's like, you know, I didn't like it. It looks like it's waving. It looks like it's greeting you in and stuff. And Hank's like, uh-huh, yeah, but according to the rule books, this is the prettiest rose. And Bobby is, you know, as you can imagine, he's not happy. And Bobby's like, but you know, this one has wabi-sabi. And and Hank's like, Bobby, don't make up words. And he's like, no, wabi-sabi, it's a real thing. It's, you know, looking at the imperfections of something and still think of they're great, like the crack in the Liberty Bell or the mole on Cindy Crawford. And Hank's like, yeah, the Liberty Bell's great, but if it were in a competition with bells that don't have cracks, it would lose. So again, Hank is just soaking all the fun out of it. He clips the rose that they're going to use, or he clips the rose that Bobby wants to use so that they can't use it, and then they prepare the rose that they are going to use.
That's really, like, I mean, as much as I would, like, if I was Bobby, and the much I want to spend time with Hank, and, you know, allowing him to play with my hobby, at the point where he destroys Bobby's rose so that there's no option of it being played, I'd be like, I'm out.
Yeah, I can't. You could tell Bobby's just like losing it all. Like, he's just losing it. He's not only losing interest, but he's like also getting his feelings hurt. Understandably so, because he really wanted to do this with his dad, and now his dad's just kind of soaking all the fun out of it. You know, yeah, not only is he soaking the fun out of it, but he's also like insulting Bobby indirectly. So,
I mean, he's maliciously sucking the fun out of it, destroying that rose. But ever since I've seen this episode, every now and then I think of, like, wabi-sabi. Like, when I first watched this was a long time ago, but I would always be like, if something went wrong in my mind, I would always be like, well, wabi-sabi, you know, like, we kind of just have to look on the better side of things. Is this real, though? Is wabi-sabi real?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real thing. There's an actual Japanese, I can't remember what it's called, but it's a Japanese form of pottery or whatnot, where like if a bowl or plate or something like that breaks, they purposely glue it together with like a golden plate, a golden paint or a golden glue, because now like where the crack used to be is super visible, but it's like still acknowledging that, like, hey, even in imperfection, there can be perfection.
I love that. I just love this. Like, I don't know if it hits you as much as it hits me, but I just love thinking about Wabi Sabi and like Bobby thinking about it. Just like, things can be going wrong, but that's probably what he's saying in his mind right now about the whole event.
Yeah, again, Bobby just wanted to have fun, but here we are. So now it's the day of the competition, and that guy we saw earlier, like one of the judges is walking by and kind of giving him the business, saying like, oh, you know, your rose looks like an anus with a stick on it and stuff. And it's clear that this is a really hardcore competition. The guy like rips off his shirt, which I guess is like a muscle shirt, and he rips it off and he reveals that he's like a built dude, not the type of dude you would expect to like roses. And he proceeds to put on like a rose themed shirt.
He looks like Terry Crews.
Yeah. I love it. That's perfect. He looks like Terry Crews. So next we see all the guys they're setting up, and the stem and seeds guy over there too with Hank and Bobby. And one of the guys is like, all these roses remind me of my mom's tattoos. Hank is still soaking all the fun out of it because he's trying to be serious. Like, hey guys, it's game time. And he sets up the roses. He's like, okay, one final mist. And the guy's like, oh, the $1 million is ours. And it's like, there's no cash prize, buddy. This is for honor. Oh, that honor is ours. And Bobby's like, oh, let's just turn it to the side a little bit because, you know, it looks a little more friendly that way. And Hank's like, no, it's fine the way it is. And then Bobby turns it, and Hank tries to turn it, and then Bobby tries to turn it again, but winds up knocking over the vase, well, the bong that they're using as a vase. And it winds up bruising one of the petals. And Hank starts to see that the guys are walking over, or the judges are walking over, and Hank's like, quick, give me shears. I'm going to try to remove an interior petal. And he does that. And all of a sudden, the guy comes up, it's like, shears down. And they look at it, and they're really impressed with the rose until they realize that Hank attempted to remove an interior petal. Like, oh, that's a flaw there. And, you know, the rose is flawless, minus this fact. And Hank's like, oh, but what about that Oriental deal about how something could be wrong with something, but it makes it better, like that model with the wart on her face? And they're like, yeah, Wabi Sabi. And the judge is like, nope, it's flawed. You guys lose. And one of the guys is like, oh no, you're a loser, which means I'm a loser, which means my dad was right. It's like, if I had my Tibetan prayer beads, I'd strangle you with this right now. As Bobby's like, well, what about Lao Tzu? And they're like, Lao Tzu was a man who lived in a hut and ate straw. And Bobby is just broken down by all this. And then we see that Ruby, my dear, the rose that we'll call Terry Crews, grew, wins the show.
Terry Crews would have voiced him if it was made today.
Oh, yeah. I really feel bad for Bobby because they lost. I guarantee you Hank's upset because they probably would have won had it not knocked over. And probably Bobby realizes that, too. And so now he's like, that probably hurts him as well because he knows, oh, now dad's going to blame me for everything. And then, of course, the guys who have been like pretty chill and everything, and I guess what you'd call zen all this time, have all of a sudden just done a 180 and have just blown up at Bobby.
Well, I think Hank got to them. Not like Hank's energy got to them and they were all like pumped up. Hank will do that. He'll get you pumped up over the smallest things. Like going in to remove an interior pedal, I bet everyone was like intense moments.
Yeah, probably. Also just the fact that they were so close minus that error that Bobby made. But yeah, let's see what happens next. Bobby goes home and sees that Hank is digging up the ground and he has the roses with him, and it's funny because Bobby's immediate thought is that Hank is going to just bury the roses as opposed to maybe like throwing them in the trash can or something. I don't know. It's like, oh, Dad, don't bury the roses. It's not their fault. And it's like, no, Hank's like, no, I'm planting the roses, you know. And Bobby's like, but they didn't win. He's like, that's okay. They don't have to win for me to like them. The Cowboys don't win all the time, and I still like them despite their gun and drug problem. And Bobby's happy, and he's like, you know, I don't think my singing was really helping them grow. My voice isn't that good. So I got this, and he pulls out this little flute and plays it horribly. And Hank's like, oh, Bobby, you have a lot of wabi-sabi. And the show ends.
I mean, it's funny, but it's kind of mean that Hank said that at the end.
Yeah. It's mean, but I think it's also good because I think it's a step up from that boy ain't right, because now he's acknowledging there's something like off with Bobby, but hey, it's all right that there's something off with him.
And that's what I appreciate about, like, when we see these episodes where Hank takes over whatever Bobby's doing, or he's kind of controlling Bobby's story a bit. And at the end, Hank always accepts Bobby for who he is. And he's like, you know what, Bobby's just kind of this different kind of kid. And, you know, I just got to accept that. Though it changes day from day. Like, we'll see him go back. But he always is just like, you know what? Bobby's going to be who Bobby is. So we just let him be for right now.
Which I think is important. Like, and I think that's something that he learns over time. That, like, Bobby is not Hank. No matter what Hank does, Bobby's not going to like the same things. And I guess he comes around in a lot of episodes and just kind of accepting that Bobby's a little different. And there's nothing wrong with that, which I think that's a lesson we can all learn.
There must have been some cash prize, though, right? For the Rose competition?
If there was, I'm sure it was a small one. Like, if people are spending a lot of money getting sponsors and stuff, there has to be some kind of prize that makes it worth it. I know this is, like, one of your favorite ones, so I'm glad we were able to get to it.
Oh, yeah. I love it when Bobby gets a hobby. I love it when he does his own thing for a while. I really love when him and Hank can, like, find common ground. Even though it did not turn out positive, but at the end, we got, like, some silver lining. I love wabi-sabi, you know, it's just great saying. And, you know, now Hank's been in a head shop, so he can say that now. Well, I guess he didn't realize he was in one, though.
Yeah. I mean, I do like that. That is one of my favorite things that they don't, like, never. Hank never picks up on it, which I guess makes sense because I don't know that he would know what weed is. Like, even in the episode where he smokes the joint, he doesn't even realize it's a joint until the guy says, until the guy, like, tells him that it's weed.
Oh, yes. That was in the murder episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just, okay. Oh, man.
But I guess, He also probably, granted, he grew up in the 70s, so that's kind of weird to me, but what is it? He probably grew up not around a lot of people who did weed or whatever, and his dad probably was super against it, and he probably just has no concept of it all.
No, I mean, like, what an interesting city Arlen is. Like, sometimes I think it's a small town, but when you see, like, the different shops in there and things like that, you're like, oh, maybe it's like my normal suburb town.
I know there's a few of those, like in Austin, like, what is it called? Oat Willies or something like that. And the Planet K. I know we had Planet K's in San Antonio and stuff. So you have all those. I can't remember somebody was telling me what the rules were with it. Cause you're like, well, weed's illegal in Texas. I think it's something like, they call them like hobby glasses or something like that. I forget what they call it, but essentially what somebody was telling me is, like, if you go in there and say, I'm looking for a bong or whatever, they have to kick you out. You have to essentially, like, you know, if you keep it on the, if you keep it on the down low or whatever, and that, you know, even everybody knows what you're really buying it for, but if you just don't, if you just don't come out and say it, then you're fine.
Interesting. You're like, I need those weird flower vases.
For reasons.
Yeah, for my rose competition.
Oh, these are art. This is for my decorating my room. Then you're fine. But if you're like, oh, you're just like, oh, I need a water pipe for my tobacco or something like that. But then if you go up there and you're like, oh, I need a bong, then they'll say no. But yeah, that's all I have on this episode. What about you?
Yeah, that's it too. You know, just live a wabi-sabi life, guys. When things go wrong,
yeah,
wabi-sabi.
I think that is the lesson here. If there is a lesson to take away from this, is just, you know, nothing. It doesn't have to be perfect for you to enjoy it. And come on, Hank, chill out a little bit. Just have fun. It's not everything's a competition. Next time we are going to do the Redneck of Rainy Street, which is a very Khan-centric episode, and I actually kind of enjoy it because we actually see Khan, someone who ridicules hillbilly and hillbilly culture, as he considers it, become a hillbilly. So if you have not seen that, please go and see it and listen to us when we talk about it next time. Until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.